Our scripture today is found in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 to 27. Oh, excuse me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together to read your word. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you give us, your word, your love, your mercy, your grace. We pray to you this time that our hearts and our minds are open to receive what it is that you have for us, to challenge us, to encourage us, to remind us that you walk with us. Pray also, Lord, for your mercy upon the sermon, that it too may be pleasing and honoring to you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 to 27. Hear now God's word. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might gain all the more. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to gain Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might gain those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not outside God's law, but am within Christ's law, so that I might gain those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I might become a partner in it. Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air. But I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our scripture today, of course, comes from our devotion from Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. And I got to say, the scripture is a good one for Lent, especially the last part about I run the race as if you're going to win it. You know, as an athlete trains their body, you also beat your own body into submission. Because all during Lent, the thing that we realize is our need for Christ. Lent is a time of introspection, but also a time of introspection through the grace of God and through the obedience and commands of God. And what we realize when we do that is how much we fall short in this life. That we don't always do those things that we desire to. When we desire to do good, our body sometimes doesn't want to go that way. And so Lent is a time to remember that we need Christ, but also to remember what it is that we're not doing well, to beat our bodies in submission so we can run that race that Paul's talking about. Now, it's no accident that this idea of beating our bodies into submission, of training as an athlete trains, of having a singular focus upon Christ, comes after the fact that Paul was talking about a very difficult concept that I have trouble with, being all things to all people. Because Paul was talking about something similar to that, being all things to all people, but after reading it, and reading what the guy who wrote this devotion at it said, I don't think Paul is exactly talking about being all things to all people. Now, we can talk about that we as a church should meet all the needs of the people who are around us. But you've heard me frequently talk about that we are not the body of Christ, but we are a part of the body of Christ. A part that is designed to do something very specific. Not all things. And I still hold on to that, that we as individuals too have been given gifts that run into certain areas and that we should give ourselves over to those gifts. Do what it is God created us to do out of a love for God. Paul's doing the same thing. It's just Paul sees his gifts is a lot bigger. I heard a woman who I have respected for much of my life. Some of you might recognize her. Her name is Ree Enlow. You know Ree, of course. Ree saw herself as having many, many, many gifts, and Ree did have many, many, many gifts. She was able to do so much, and she was quite fond of saying, and not really that fond of saying it, those who are given much are required much. So whatever it is that you're given, use it, is what Ree had always said. And Paul's saying here too, he tells us that he is free though he is free, he has made himself a slave to all. And he goes on to say that as a Jew, when he preaches to Jew, he becomes a Jew. Now, Paul is a Jew in his life, so he would know how to do this. To those under the law, he became as one under the law. And again, he would understand how to do that because that's part of his life. Those outside of the law, he became as one outside of the law. And again, he knows that because his father was probably Greek. And he understands what it means to live outside of the law. So he lived that way for them. To the weak, he became weak. Again, he understands that. He knows weakness. He knows where his insecurities lie. He knows what he can and can't do. And he knows that there were times in his life where he did not follow Christ. And so he understands that and becomes weak for them. And he goes on to say, I become all things to all people that I might by all means save some. But we got to understand that this next verse after this is what Paul is really getting at. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I might become a partner in it. In reading the devotion for today, the author commented on what it means when Paul's saying to become all things to all people. And what Paul means, according to our gospel, or according to our author, is that to meet people where they are. Quite simply put, it's an easy thing to understand. Sometimes it's a hard thing to follow through with. Meeting people where they are is something that God challenges us all to do. And Christ challenges us this by modeling it in our own lives. Throughout our lives, Christ has met us where we are. And sometimes the places that we are where Christ meets us aren't places we're very happy with. But still, we can find Jesus there. An example of meeting people where they are. This Friday, I got a call from Jerry that Sharon wasn't doing well, and he asked if I can come down to the hospital, McKeesport. So I did. I said I'd be there in 45 minutes. It's about 3:30 or so. And when I got there, about 4:15, she had passed already. Now, if I were an extremely happy and summary sort of person, I could have said to Jerry, oh, Jerry, look on the bright side of life. At least it's sunny outside. And that wouldn't go over at all because it's not meeting where he is in that moment. It's recognizing the truth of the sadness and the loss. We never want people to be there. We don't want to be there ourselves. And yet that's exactly where Christ meets us, where we are. And so sometimes meeting people where they are is a difficult exercise. And there will be truth in the fact that sometimes we can't. But God will always give us people who can, who are able to be there where we might not be able to be. And so we can pray that someone is able to meet that person where they are. And I love that about Christ. That he's there, wherever it is we might be, wherever it is the people that Jesus loved might be. I heard a wonderful, I think it was in the devotion, of a woman whose ministry was to go to brothels in this one country. She went to a brothel and she met with the sex workers there. As men were coming in the lobby paying for services. And she would tell them stories. She would teach them about Jesus Christ. She would share stories about Paul and Peter and Mary and John the Baptist. She met people where they were. And she did it for the sake of the gospel. Now, if the gospel is so important that Paul was willing to sacrifice himself and who he is and meet people where they are, though that might be difficult, and even to beat his own body into submission so that he may not lose out on the prize himself, what is the gospel that we are to be proclaiming in our lives? We always hear about share the gospel with other people, but what does that actually mean? What is the gospel? I found a slide. The gospel is the good news of God's grace. What do you think? Good? Good? It's not good. It's not wrong. It's just not complete. The gospel that you and I as Christians proclaim within our lives is most definitely the good news about God's grace as shared through us through Jesus Christ. You know the scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The goodness of God's grace as shared to us through Jesus Christ. This is what we live for. This is what we share whenever we meet people where they are. Maybe not always in words, but in presence as Christ has shared with us his presence. I shared this with you before as I went to a volunteered as hospital chaplain in Shadyside. That the chaplain who was there, the paid chaplain, was stressing the fact that ecumenicalism is so important there, just not as Christians, just not when sharing Christ with Christians, but also when sharing the love of God with Muslims, with Jews, with atheists. And she said, you can pray. She said, you should pray, but in your prayers, we ask as policy in the hospital not to close in the name of Jesus Christ. So she said to me as a challenge, she said, if you don't close in the name of Jesus Christ, then is your prayer Christian prayer? And she said to me, of course it is, because you are a Christian. Because you cannot pray apart from Christ Jesus praying with you. That your prayer, though not with the words Jesus Christ, is still a prayer of Christ. And so we take that just a step further, that our life lived, as we meet people where they are, whether we proclaim the name of Jesus out loud or not, is still with the love of Christ. I pray that as Paul challenges us to beat our bodies into submission, as an athlete does, that as we try and do our best to meet people where we are, that we do all these things, not just for our sake, but for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ, because that is who we are, little Christians, little Christs. To share the love of Jesus with all whom we encounter, whether we use words or not. And I thank God for those opportunities, which we will have to do just that. So I leave you with this final benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Forever and ever. Amen and amen. Go in peace, knowing that the love of the Lord goes with you always.